I heard stories of people dressing up as FedEx workers or UPS workers and trying to show up at the studio to like get a look at what was going on inside. So I feel like we got the opposite end of that, where it was like, don't you say a freaking word.
Welcome to Let's Play by the Gamers, a podcast hosted by actress Kylie Vernoff. Fans know Kylie best as the fiery Susan Grimshaw in Red Dead Redemption 2 and Miranda Cowan in GTA 5. Our series features some of the most informed and exciting people in the gaming industry today. Kylie and her guests discuss careers, gaming, and so much more. If you like what you hear, be sure to check out thegamers.com website to hear exclusive bonus material from each of our guests.
Hey everybody, I have some very exciting news. In today's interview, I'll be sitting down for part one of a two-part episode with three of my fabulous co-stars from Red Dead Redemption 2. We'll have Sam Strelitz, who plays Mary Beth Gaskell, Joe Armanox, who plays Karen Jones, and Mia Davis, who plays Tilly Jackson. This was a live interview where we literally sat around a makeshift campfire, marshmallows and all. And if you played our game, you'll know there is some colorful language around the campfire. We've kept it to a minimum here, but fair warning, we are outlaws after all. All right, I can't wait for you to get to know these fabulous women, so let's get right into it.
Well, hey everybody, and welcome to this very special campfire edition of Let's Play by the Gamers. I am your host, Kylie Vernoff, and I play Susan Grimshaw in Red Dead Redemption 2, and I am so excited to introduce to you, together for the very first time, my beloved camp girls. Oh. So, here we have Sam Strelitz, who plays Mary Beth Gaskell. Ooh. We have Joe Armanox, who plays Kara Jones. And we have Mia Davis, who plays Tilly Jackson. And thank you guys all so much for being here. I'm so excited.
Welcome.
Thanks for having
Happy
us.
Happy to be here.
I think that I want to get right to the question that I hear the most from fans, which is, are you guys really this close in real life?
No.
Oh. Yes. That's the number one question. That's so funny.
That is what I hear more than anybody,
wow.
Than anything else on social media is, you guys have so much fun together. Are you really that close in real life?
It means we get to be friends forever.
Yeah. I feel like people see that on social media, though. I feel like we hang out often enough and post about it that, you know, I feel like you get kind of like insight into our actual lives, which is that we are friends in real life.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've loved being a part of this game and everything that has come with it, but the whole gang is like a real family to me, but particularly this friendship between the four of us is more than I could have ever dreamed of from a job, and it continues to evolve and just, you know, bring me so much joy. So I love you all. Mean it.
Ditto,
baby. I love you so much. I want to get a little background. Like, my whole goal for this interview is just not to bore Joe. So I'm not gonna ask.
Good luck.
No, sleep like in the corner.
So we don't need life stories, but I also hear a lot from people that want to know how we got into acting, right? So I think a lot of fans want to get into acting or getting to performance capture, and so let's talk a little bit about that. We'll start with you, Sam. So you're a Long Beach girl.
Yeah, I'm a California native, Southern California native. I actually recently, I've been going home a lot recently, kind of going New York, LA a lot, and I've been siphoning through all of my old notebooks and everything, and I found a note to myself when I was in elementary school, and it was like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, no.
And I was, it said I wanted to be a singer. And I remember, you know, I've been in, you know, choral and chamber choir and ensembles and everything ever since I was a little kid. And it's so funny because I remember it as always wanting to be an actor from, you know, the first time I saw Phantom of the Opera, you know, when I was like 6 years old or something crazy. But then I read that and I was like, that's really crazy. I guess I blocked that out because as far, you know, go as I could remember, I'd always wanted to be an actress. You know, I did every class that was ever offered to me, you know, middle school up, and then I did summer stocks and stuff like that. So I just really had that desire.
Yeah, I think I heard somewhere that you started begging your mom for an agent at age 8. Is that true?
I love that.
Yeah,
story.
I did. Every year for my birthday, she was like, what do you want? I was like, an agent.
Oh my God.
And she was like, Cool. So we bought a book, like how to get your kid into show business at like, you know, Barnes and Nobles. May it rest in peace. And
no, they're still there.
But are they? So I was pretty precocious.
So what brought you to New York then? If you were in LA and you had roots there, what brought you here?
I came here for school. I went to NYU and I graduated and I kind of just stuck around and kind of, you know, wanted to see what acting as a professional actress looked like in the city. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of, you know, indie theater and kind of, you know, started there and did every single medium that you could possibly think of in acting.
I think New York gives you that. Gives you this sort of freedom to try a whole lot of things out with all this pressure. You know, you don't have that like landing a TV show right away feeling that you have in LA. At least for me, that's true.
Definitely. Yeah.
There's a cool like anonymity to living in the city where you don't feel like everyone's on their hustle, so you don't feel diminished by, you know, not acting every single day and just, you know, being able to have other things that you're pursuing as well.
Yeah, I was talking to someone else for this podcast and she was saying how there may be more competition for things in LA in terms of amount of people going up for the same role, but in New York everyone is so good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even really hurt when you don't get it because you know that we're all there and we're all at the top of our game and we can just root for each other in a way that
And when you see who gets the role, cuz I used to not do it and then Visa like a, you know, suggestion by a friend of mine, they were like, "Have you ever looked online and seen who got the role that you went out for?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't." So I went down a rabbit hole.
Oh,
and
no,
I was
that's
like,
20 years old.
And it was actually really good. And I was like, wow, if they wanted that person, then they weren't really looking for me. So whatever I was bringing just wasn't the right fit. It's not really that I didn't do the best version of, you know, my character for that role. It just wasn't going to be, it wasn't going to be me if it was going to be her.
Exactly.
Which is kind of like,
it's
takes
freeing.
A lot of pressure off of you,
Yeah, it's really freeing. We can't all be working all the time, so it's great, can root for each other. Now, what about you? Because I heard that you started in community theater with your mom.
Yeah, mom. Thanks, mom.
In North Carolina.
Yeah, she was doing Damn Yankees, and I was like 3 years old, and I was like, excuse me, why am I not the lead in this production? And she was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you want to be in the show? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay.
At three.
We'll take you to meet the director, and you can audition. Like, everybody else, you little brat. And I was like, fine. So I went and sang Happy Birthday to this guy named Hall Parrish. I ended up doing like regional theater with him as I grew up. Like that built my like theater experience and career when I was
That's
a kid.
Really cool.
Yeah, so that was.
So he really knew you from
like,
toddlerdom.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and then, so he let me in the show and I have like, you know, give like blips of like memories mm-hmm. when you're like a little tiny baby. And maybe I was like, 4 or 5, actually, because 3 seems really young. Whatever. Who cares? Nobody.
I'm not fact-checking that particular statement.
Yeah, so then I just kept doing regional theater throughout my childhood and, like, you know, did that whole thing.
I think I remember seeing some little, like, news clip of you basically talking about how I don't remember exactly what you said, Joe, but it was like keeping it real. It was like, is this the greatest thing you've ever done? And you were like, not really.
Yeah. There was some local TV show because I was doing To Kill a Mockingbird and they were like, and how has this experience been? Is it the greatest thing ever? And like, no.
It's fine.
I love that.
I think I just didn't understand the question.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's a really good one. It's just like essence of Joe.
Like, this is okay.
I sound like a little redneck, too. It's very strange. I sound like a little redneck, too. It's very weird.
Oh, no, you just sounded like Karen.
Take it back.
A little bit like Karen.
Take it back.
Okay, but Mia, you're Detroit. Yes. Born, bred, raised. And you didn't start acting until high school. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to be an actress at all. My brother was an actor, and I was just like, you do too much. So I was like, I'm going to be a lawyer because they make a lot of money. Like. Then I thought about
you wanted to be a lawyer.
I only did that because it was like the thing to say. You know what I mean? What do you want to be? A lawyer, a doctor, a nurse?
A veterinarian.
All of those things. And I was just like, I don't want to go to school for that long.
Yeah, that's a really long time.
And I didn't want to go to school for that long, so that's why I didn't become a lawyer.
But you really pursued your education in acting. You went and studied the classics in London. Mm-hmm, and So you were in school a long time, let's just say.
No, not really. I just did 4 years.
Okay.
But if, like emotionally, sure, it was forever. But yes. Yeah, I went to college and then it was just like, okay, cool. In high school, I found the, like you said, like the itch for it. And it was like something that told me like, you know, you can't, not that I can't do anything else, but I can act like anything else. But I am an artist. So yeah. My vessel should be used for art. And that's just, you know, that's what I do now.
Yeah. I have to say that, I mean, the three of you and the rest of the cast in Red Dead are some of the best actors that I've ever encountered in my really long tenure in this business. I mean, they really cast the shit out of this thing.
Yeah, they did.
You are all artists. We are all artists. And we really, I think, every time we got out there, we got to just bring our best because we knew that our scene partner, whoever it was that day, would, you know, be right there with us.
Yeah. Which is really, really good.
I completely agree.
So I was thinking about my audition process and how I really had no idea what I was getting into, I mean, at all, because I'd never played video games at all. And and I've talked a little bit about this, but because Rockstar is so, they hold everything so close, right? They don't want anything leaking. My audition scene had nothing to do with a Western or anything. Yeah. And I think that my audition scene was probably written by casting or someone, and I think I was auditioning. Yeah, that probably
the day before.
Probably not. Yeah. Is it right?
She knows.
I'm not. Wait.
I mean, nobody knows.
Somebody wrote it, but it was not from the canon. Let's just say it was not from the canon.
Right.
And I think my character was like this drunken mother abusing her teenage daughter really viciously, which makes sense now if you
sounds
watch.
About right.
Watch. And I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what auditioning for a video game is, but I'm an actress, so I'm going to go act and just see what that would mean. And then I had the best time in that room. And I found out later that I was reading with you that day.
Yeah.
That we read together.
You were amazing.
Ah, thank you.
And then you apologized to me before you left because you were like, I'm so sorry.
I did?
I yelled
that doesn't
at you
sound like me.
This whole time. Because it was really abusive.
It was
like,
vicious.
They take you to the limit so that they know that when you get whatever you are going to have, they know that you can go there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and stuff that's like dirty too.
Yeah.
You know, like they want to know that we're cool
like
with
what
that.
I remember. I'm like, well, that vocabulary was really, really went there.
Yeah, you adults.
Know? Yeah, very adult.
Was it? I don't remember it being like dirty chops in the audition.
No, not yours. But some of the other
characters.
Dirty chops?
My first, so I had my initial audition and then I had a callback, what I considered a callback, but maybe it was just they were rerunning auditions months after the fact. And my initial audition was just like, I was just like, dang, this is like really down and dirty. Like she was saying crazy things, you know, being very provocative. She was trying to like seduce somebody, but also kind of like, you know, be weird to her roommate, like have a weird competition with her female roommate. And
which was very sad.
I like remember actual lines from it, but I won't even go into that. And I just remember the funniest thing being like, I just remember thinking, wow, I must look really dumb right now. Because they have you walk around the room, they're like, we just want to see your gait.
Yeah, they want to see
how
you
move. And I just imagine that I was like, what?
Yeah. My whole thing was very weird.
Yours was amazing.
Tell me your thing.
Yeah. I don't think I walked anywhere. Yeah. I just walked in and I did the thing.
You did the whole thing.
I walked?
Yeah.
Everyone, you all have
incredible. I might have been drunk that whole time.
That's why you got the role. She went there.
I remember walking, but I definitely remember doing the scene. Mm. First of all, I didn't even know what Rockstar was. That's how green I was. I was like, what is mocap? I didn't know what it was. I didn't look up anything. I look up stuff now. But then I didn't look up anything.
I think you would have been able to find it. I don't know how much they would have said.
What does it mean to be, and what is Rockstar? Like, I just was like, whatever, this is a commercial, let's just get it. So I walk in, I get the sides, and I'm reading it, I'm like, what kind of commercial is this? It was literally a scene that was like, be as vulnerable as possible. And I was like, is this for like,
he was going to pimp you out.
Like,
what is this?
Yeah, it was like my boyfriend was supposed to pimp me out or something. But I was like so submissive to him that I just said yes and like cried. I remember the first time I did it and then Adam was like, ugh, do it again and like go deeper.
Tony
said that.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
And then you were like the only person that took a moment and paused before you, yes.
It was amazing because everybody else was like, okay, yes. Like,
she actually thought about it and was like, do I really want to? She made this huge life decision right in front of us. I'm getting chill bumps thinking
about it. I love that you have all this insight into this process.
I mean, what else did I do? What did I say when I left?
How did
it
look? How did I look that day?
I think you had like an orange shirt.
I did. So then having all of that insight, what was it like for you to then go in and did you have to go in and audition or did they just know your work so well?
Oh, Tony was amazing. He let me audition for like everything. Like,
wow.
Yeah, and so I think Sam and I actually were supposed to have each other's roles, which is I think is always fun to think about, but because I definitely got the cooler one. I'm just kidding. Wait, maybe I did. Yeah, but like it was really interesting to.
Yes, just stress eat while she says mean things.
Wait, yeah, no. Yeah, it was really interesting to like, and also to come on set and go, you were so cool, you were so amazing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciated that myself. Yeah.
You said that to some people, you didn't say it to everyone.
Oh, that is so not true.
Not available on Google.
Because Kylie's right, everybody that was involved in this project, and you're talking about like over 1,000 people.
Yeah. I think they hired like, Rockstar hired like 1,200.
Yeah, 1,200. Yeah. Everybody was exceptional.
Actors, which really, I mean, that's amazing how many union actors they employ and continue to employ.
So for us to be in this position is like such an honor.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. You know? Yeah. It really is. Okay, so you must have had some sort of idea of what you were getting into, but I did not. I think you did not. And what I was told was when I went for the first day, I was told to wear comfortable undergarments. That is like literally the only thing that I was told. So I had no idea I was wearing a motion capture suit or what that was. Yeah. But I do remember my first day pretty clearly because Rob was there and he was just so kind and gentle. Because let's talk about these suits that we wear.
Let's skip it.
Let's just say
everything.
Everything shows. At literally every single thing.
I enjoy
your body is
you.
All.
Here's what I think about a motion capture suit. I think everybody thinks that they look awful, and everybody looks amazing.
Everybody looks great.
Literally, I'd be like, gosh,
Jim Santangeli told me, he's like, I look at your Instagram, and you look like this beautiful girl, and then I see you on set, and you look like just a big doofus with this like all this stuff on.
Oh my!
And I was like, touché.
Well, he's incorrect. He's incorrect. But yeah, so I had no idea what I was getting for at all. And then the other thing is, I had no idea I'd be coming back.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We all didn't know if we were like fired or we were replaced.
That was always.
Yeah, I definitely thought I was fired after my first day. I knew what Rockstar was. I've dated a lot of gamers, and I really was like, we're doing GTA, guys, obviously. Especially with what they called the Rockstar.
Oh, you thought we were doing GTA.
Well, because on the audition, it was like, they called it San Andreas or something. And I'm like, nice try, folks. I know exactly what we're doing.
Right.
And I went in and I really wanted it because I love the challenge of doing something that surprises me in acting.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, doing a video game would just be like absurdly freaking cool. And so I really, really, really wanted it. And, you know, to what Joe said about us potentially playing each other's characters, my sides were definitely not Mary Beth friendly. I mean, they were crazy.
That didn't sound like Mary Beth.
That was bonkers bananas. And then my callback or my second round of auditions was just like, it just wasn't at all what you would imagine Mary Beth would be saying or doing. So I was like, oh, okay. So then when I got in, I walked on set. I had a feeling, you know, I knew I had seen, you know, mocap videos of other video games being, recorded and, you know, rendered and animated and stuff like that. So I had an idea. But the mocap suits are different across the board. Mm. I had no idea that we would be wearing. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be basically a full body spank. Like, that's going to be really flattering. And then you get there and you put it on, you're like, this is really not flattering. It's like half of it's missing. Like, it's just like, all of your trouble
cutouts.
Spots
are cutouts in the trouble spots where it doesn't squeeze
and
in.
And you just get to know people real quick because you're like, oh.
Yeah, definitely real quick.
Your entire,
you know, it's just, and the first day that I had on set, which all of you ladies were at, I was going through a really bad breakup, and I was just really, I
remember this.
I have a hard time compartmentalizing sometimes. You know, I try to like really get it together, but it's really difficult, as you probably all know. And so, you know, as actors, we're very emotional and we really like tag into those feelings. Or maybe not. Maybe not.
I'm a stone cold.
So you're like, not me. But I just remember just being really like, you know, I was so excited for the job. I got on set. It was the old studio. So it was just like a very different setting. Mm-hmm. And the green room was different and the setup was different. And you were just there with everyone who works on everything.
Yep. Yeah.
And they had me kind of doing like little like menial things, like things that would probably happen like in between scenes, not real scenes. And I remember, you know, just being really quiet and introverted. And at the end of that day, walking out of the studio and coming back to Manhattan and thinking, well, that was fun. That was my try. You know, that was my go at being in a video game. I'll never see those people again. I sucked. You know, and then to what, you know, to, you know, what you sort of mentioned before, every time they asked you to come again to set and you got pages, I just got so excited, you know, not getting through all of the material that day because I knew that I had another day on set. And that to me just was like one of those little shining things that I could like look forward to in the future. Yeah. And that just became kind of a, you know, an ongoing experience.
Yeah. I think there did come a time in my experience where I started to understand that I was like part of the Vanderlyn gang. Mm-hmm. And so that probably I would get to continue on the journey. But I think that that might have been a couple years in. What about you?
It was like a year before the game came out. And I was just like, yeah, I'm in it. But before that, I was like, they could come here at any time. I don't know what's going on. It was very nerve-wracking because I felt like I had... Yeah. Did I say something? Did I leave my email open? Like, did somebody see something?
Yeah.
And then,
because
there was that big fiasco where they kept sending us to say, like, oh, change your passwords, or like, there's been a breach in the system. Yeah. I'm like, was it me? I don't know. It could have been. I might have been drunk that day. I don't know. Yeah. But it was always like, I would hit you up, like, hey, did you hear from our special friends?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Did you
They're
get that same
our phone
email?
Call, so don't say anything else. Like, it was very scary.
Well, there's no nuance to how they deal with that. I mean, there are like literally flyers all over the place and you have to swab into all of the rooms because, you know, Rockstar goes to great lengths to make sure that the gamers that are playing the game have everything revealed in game and don't get information beforehand that would dictate how they feel about it, which is amazing. But at the same time, you know, I heard stories of people dressing up as FedEx workers or UPS workers and trying to show up at the studio to like get a look at, you know, what was going on inside. So I feel like we got the opposite end of that where it was like, don't you say a freaking word. You know, we didn't want to, but at the same time we were like,
I had a nightmare. I had a nightmare one night that was so bad that I woke my husband up at like 3 a.m. and I was having a panic attack. And in my dream, I had run into some friends at a party and I had seen Roger and I had said, oh, this is my friend Roger. We're working on the same job together. But I didn't say video game. I didn't say anything like that. And I woke up like in a sweat. I had to wake my husband up and I was so shaken and I didn't sleep the rest of the night and I was working the next day. And I remember telling Roger that story and our director was on set. And I was like, I mean, even if I had said, I know Roger from another job, that wouldn't be a big deal. And he's like, it absolutely would.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to do that. And I was like,
So it took us years to actually hang out.
You know what I mean? We like, weren't allowed to follow each other on social.
Yeah, we weren't
we
even allowed
to do anything.
Yeah.
Until it like, came, those are my friends.
And now
I made
they can't
them, and
stop
I want to hang out with
so.
Them.
Yeah.
I can say whatever I want.
That is such a joy that we can spend as much time together as we want, and we can talk about like how we know each other, and you know that's fabulous. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you guys. First of all, did you all get to do robberies?
Yeah.
I have a stagecoach mission that some people have come across and some people have not come across, where I'm basically the pawn, spoiler alert, I'm basically the pawn in kind of like tricking some guys to like stop their stagecoach so that it can be robbed.
That's your whole
robbery. I did that.
There was actually a scene between Roger and I that isn't in the game because they took a different turn for like what they wanted us to be. And it was like I was working a John, but I wasn't. I was like setting him up, and Roger was supposed to come in and like you know rob him or whatever. But I remember that scene. And I was like, oh, okay.
I remember that scene. I think I was on set when you guys were shooting that.
Yes, that was. And I was like, oh, okay. And then it just when they switched us all around and kind of like changed our stories, that just never made it. But I did do one, but it's just not in the
Well, let's talk about that.
Interesting, though.
Yeah. What?
Joe, you have a scene in Valentine, when we first get to Valentine, where you're kind of doing the same thing.
They kept that.
I know. So yeah. That's interesting that, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I remember what that, I think maybe my first understanding of when we come and rescue you from the Foremans, my initial understanding was that it was a John gone
yep.
wrong.
Yep.
So let's talk about that, because that is a really interesting thing. I think that when I first started working with all of you women, my understanding was that Susan was a madam, and that you were all working girls, that you were prostitutes.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, you and I dying laughing one day when you were like, but Miss Grimshaw, I don't feel well. And I was like, I don't care. Get to work. And you were like, get to work, you know.
Doing the deed in the room with the dude.
Yeah, in the tent. But there did come a time, like years in, when I realized that I was not seeing any scenes referring to that, that I wasn't hearing any scenes about that.
Yeah.
And it sort of, I think, I realized that things had shifted, and that when I was telling you girls to get to work, it would be cleaning, sewing, and it was like keeping the camp together.
Like darning a sock.
You know? Yeah. I made this up in my head that we had somehow had an influence over that, and I don't know if that's actually the case, because it's so long ago.
It's so long ago.
I hope
I'd
so.
Like to think
I would think I, hope I would so. Think so.
Because it's kind of a shame to have like a game and then have like we're all trying to represent and empower women now and then have this male-dominated industry and then have them all be prostitutes.
Yeah.
Kind of miss them, you know. It'd be kind of a shame.
I really did feel that way. I felt like that they started seeing, first of all, what incredible actresses we were and how we were there to play and how much value we could add to missions besides that old trope. Yeah. And I sort of have the same thing in my head, I don't know if it's true or not, that Rockstar really made a pivot with the women, in particular the four of us. However, like when I've played the game, Susan has a campfire scene where she says, you know, whores talking to a madam, that never would have happened in my day. So there's still like some flavor, but there's no whoring, right?
Yeah,
I love how you said that.
No. You say what you want, Tilly does her own thing at night.
Yeah, she looks out for herself.
Tilly made
no wonder
out.
I can
she
partake into the camp.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, and you guys have that experience, right?
I think it's so much more interesting to make more complex, nuanced characters and to care more about their backstories and how they came across this gang and why they're outlaws and why they're kind of outside of the general society or different, you know, societies or communities that they come across in the towns. I think it gives more to the characters and, you know, and I also think that I think we would have had a very different experience with fans had it been that way. And so I'm so grateful that it wasn't that, because I think it's really easy to pigeonhole women of a certain time that are doing kind of their own thing outside of regular society and to say, well, it's because she was a prostitute. You know, it's like that just immediately you forget. There's nothing wrong with it, but I feel like, I truly believe that how the fans interact with us, how much the female fans care about our personal storylines and what that means to them would have taken on a different flavor, so to speak, you know? Yeah. And I think and I'm really grateful that regardless of whether or not it was us or Rockstar was like, this is not the story we need to tell about these women, I'm so grateful that it happened.
Yeah, I definitely think too. It was us, though. I mean, I'm just saying because if you're with us, although we can play a prostitute, and again, there's nothing wrong with that, I think our individual spirits are so much more than that, that they could see that, like, she's too big to just be that in this game. Yeah. We need to make her story more than what it is. And I definitely think that they were like, Karen is a junk, but we like Karen. She's got a story. You know what I mean? Like, it was more of like, let's showcase the artist. Let's showcase the art.
Yeah. And I did feel like our characters, I can speak for myself, but I also saw it in all of you, that that we started getting our characters fleshed out more, that there was more backstory, that there, you know, that we, there was more color and nuance that we got to play with. So is there a scene for you, Mia, that you think really sort of gives like a clear vision of who Tilly is? like reveals her character?
I think it's the scene where I'm talking to Arthur and he's talking about him being, he feels like he's a bad person. And I tell him, you know, you can change, you're not a bad person, it's just you make bad decisions, but you have the opportunity to change. And I was like, this is
great.
And it's a short kind of walk and talk and that's it. Mm-hmm. When he encounters me in the camp and then that's it. But I was like, oh,
that's her mm-hmm. core belief system. Mm-hmm. And she can give that
like, you
to
can
him.
Make a bad decision, but you're not a bad person. You know what I mean? Yeah. You still have like to give yourself grace to be better. You know, I was like, that's
really beautiful, and that is mm-hmm. a central theme to the game, especially if you're playing with high honor.
Exactly, yeah. Mm.
And what about you?
Well, I want to talk about some of the scenes that didn't make it in the game, but I'm not sure
what you can or can't say.
Yeah, so there is one there that I love to talk about, but I don't want to do that. But, like, we had a bunch of stuff. I'm not entirely sure. I think there's so much stuff happening with you and me, mm-hmm. and me and Penny. And we had a lot of stuff together. With Arthur and I'm not sure. There was stuff with me and Micah as well that was really cool. Like, I had, like, decided that Karen truly had, like, a crush on Micah, and she, like, wasn't sure. And that's why she didn't know how to be around him, and, like, he was so mean to her. And, you know, but, yeah, you can. I'll come back
also
to that.
Also deleted
Sam
scenes.
Might have.
Well, I want to say, right. that in prepping for this talk today, I was going back and really watching that scene just before your character wanders off.
Oh yeah.
You know, there are some spoilers going on here, so I think most people have played through, but where I'm talking about Molly and her fate and my responsibility for it, and you're screaming at me.
Yeah.
You are really letting me have it in a way that still sends chills through my spine. And I feel like for some reason you seem to be the only character that all of a sudden Susan get shaken up, that she really is responsible for what happened in that situation. But what I thought was so incredible and revealing about Karen in that moment is when I say she knew the rules and she broke the rules, mm-hmm. and you say she did not. She was in love.
Yeah.
And how you wouldn't know that Karen is necessarily driven by this, like, this sort of pure understanding that when someone is in love, they might make different decisions.
There are no rules.
There are no rules.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
And it still makes me angry that you killed her, you know? I'm like getting mad about her.
Yeah. Yeah. Bite. She did know the rules.
She did. She was in love.
But I loved
that
moment.
So
and you just slayed that. I remember just watching you work that day as
Penny,
you slayed it.
Do you remember Penny's? I'm sure
yes,
you guys
let's
are,
talk about Penny O'Brien, God. Who is not here, but who plays Molly O'Shea.
That, love her.
She, when right before that all goes down, which you did brilliantly as well, but her, like, that build-up.
That build-up. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah, of calling Dutch to account for
in front of everybody.
Just in front of everybody.
That was a hard scene to film, I felt, because it was like 49 million people. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm screaming, you know, when she gets shot, and I'm like, you know, and they're like, okay, cool. So we're going to maybe quiet that, and you can maybe ADR something in, but, like, we don't need you hysterical in the background. I'm like, but she would be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, I'm going to totally not do the full, but Mary Beth absolutely would be. She would be beside herself. So
those large group scenes were tricky. They were the best days. They were the best days because having everybody on set. I think I read something that Gabrielle Sawyer, who plays Javier, had said. He said that unlike any other job he's ever had in his career, every time he got a call sheet, he just lit up like a Christmas tree. Yep. Like, oh, my friend, my friend.
Yeah.
And when it was those big group scenes, they were the best days, but they were also the hardest.
Yep.
Because it's choreography at that point.
Yes.
I think, first of all, I want to hear about you. Is there a moment that sort of formulates Mary Beth for you?
Yeah, I feel, well, she changed for me drastically from the beginning to where kind of we ended up, which was such a surprise, and I just get all warm and fuzzy when I heard about what she, you know, her future in the game, and that was just I just found it to be amazing, and it kind of, you know, in retrospect, kind of informed certain things about what she said, and so I have a lot of scenes that I really loved with, you know, everyone that was in the game, but I think the one that really gave me some real insight into Mary Beth was actually with Karen, Joe, and it was when they arrive in Valentine, and they're going to go explore, and Mary Beth is just like, oh my God, we're in Valentine, it's so romantic. She just goes off about how amazing this place is going to be, and it's like, and Karen's like, this is a general. And, you know, and it's just like, you know, Mary Beth's coping mechanism is to romanticize, you know, and to find the hope and beauty in these things that are really just like really hard times. Yeah. And she's very introspective, and she kind of goes into her fantasy world in order to like make the situation that she's in better. Yeah. And I feel like she gives that to other characters along the way a lot.
Definitely Tilly.
Yeah, definitely Tilly. Yeah. I mean, even scenes with Karen, even though regardless of how Karen takes them, and I definitely think she cowers a lot to Susan, but that specific scene, I was like, oh, I get her. I always thought, you know, because she says all these things like, oh, silly romance novels, and she really downplays and diminishes kind of what she's doing. But in that moment, I was like, no, this is her whole world. You know, she has this really...
And she's that creative spirit.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's why I was like...
She's a dreamer.
You know, when they told me her ending, I was just like... I think so vindicated. I was like, yeah, she gets her dream. You know, it was beautiful.
As fun as it was to work with you, and I just loved getting to work with you.
You wanted to slap me around more?
A little bit.
Okay.
Slap you around. Well, we'll get to that.
It was only me.
I really gave you the business. No, but I knocked her
she
on
really,
her ass.
She really pushes me out of the way
I
to get on the
right
house.
On her ass. That was a great scene. Yeah. That was about vanity.
Yeah.
And and that scene in particular, you know, there were always these things where you were trying to give Susan a chance and say things are not so bad and love is real. And I think for Susan, it was just she so much felt that things had changed for her. And, you know, she couldn't afford to look at that kind of hope.
Yeah.
And then also, I think, you know, Susan's dealing with the fact that she has sort of aged out of that position in the camp of getting the attention from the men. And so I think she thinks that she's giving Mary Beth valuable advice, saying, find something besides the way you look. But, of course, it comes out in this jealous tirade, which would be so hard because I adore you.
Oh, I love you. I mean, hope is very painful. Hope is a painful, thing to hold on to. And I think that shows a lot throughout the game. You know, in terms of what you were talking about with Karen's scene and her saying she didn't break the rules, it was love. I mean, there's like these slivers, these gorgeous, beautiful moments where each of the characters kind of talk about hope. Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's like a dagger in your heart because, you know, if you finish the game, you're like, you know?
I had this incredible experience. I was put on the phone with this veteran who actually works with a company that they tried to overcome depression and loneliness in vets through gaming. But he was just a huge fan of our game, and he was saying how it reminded him, and now I feel emotional, but of what you go out and fight for when you have a home to come home to, and how coming home to the camp and really spending time with the people that are your family reminds you of why you're going out on these other
missions
and having a place to come home to.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy that we get all of these experiences out of a video game? Like truly, like I just think it's incredible that you had that experience talking to somebody who was so moved and so in that, you know, in that mindset and felt so emotionally attached to it. And it's a video game.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like 80 hours of gameplay or something like that. It's much more immersive than a movie or even a TV show, you know? It's like incredible that people have that. And that, like you said, you were like brought to tears on the phone with this guy.
Yeah. And I was not expecting that at all. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting for that kind of emotional attachment from the fans. There's a lot of discussion about the difference between voice acting and performance capture. So, Joe, how would you describe performance capture to someone who was asking?
The way Tony used to describe it, he'd be like, you know, Avatar with all the balls.
Oh. Okay, done. Moving on.
Yeah. That's funny. I never heard him say that. That's hilarious.
Avatar, all the balls.
All the balls.
People go,
Right. So the balls are little balls that the computers can catch so that all of your movement can be recorded.
They reflect the light, like all of the lights, and that's what they pick up, the movement.
Yeah. Right. And so I personally found it to be an incredibly freeing way to play scenes, right? Mm-hmm. Because the cameras can
are
catch
everywhere.
You 360.
Yes.
So if you think about the fact that the player can enter from anywhere,
right,
the cameras have to catch all the action. So unlike when you're on a film set, if I go like this, well, I might have just come right out of my shot.
Right,
but when you're doing a video game,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So you just have all this freedom to just play.
Except for when we have to like touch each other.
Oh, Velcro.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
I'm stuck. The balls are stuck.
Yeah. The hugging. Ball?
Hugging is a hazard.
Kissing. Kissing, yeah.
Dancing. I found dancing to be difficult too. I was like, this is not what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But the balls on the knuckles, I was like, I never got used to that.
Oh, and every time we had to go to the bathroom.
Anytime you have to pee, you have to lower your mocap suit, the Velcro sticks to your gloves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Serious job hazard.
Different for women than it is for men.
Very.
It was easier
they
for
need
men.
To fix yeah. that. They need to fix that. The men could just
in like a butt flap.
We need a little.
Little gateway.
Like how it was shot, I thought, like, Rod directing us and other amazing directors that we had, like, did a great job. I mean, obviously, Rod, he has so much experience, but, like, people that were coming on that were like, oh, like, that were theater directors, like Wendy, for instance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just, like, working in that world, and it ended up going so smoothly all the time. I was like, oh, okay, like, we'll figure this out. You
right,
know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, there were things you had to look out for, like, if you walk there, you're in a tent.
Oh. Right, or stepping on a horse or something.
Yeah.
Like I'm don't on a horse, but I'm in the horse. Like.
Right, that's one of the things people ask is that everything is a scale approximation of what it is.
Yeah.
So people would say, like, if you're climbing on a horse, it is a structure built to the scale of a horse.
And they were huge.
Hard. Yeah, they were huge.
The horses that were built were huge.
It was fun, though. Guys.
Were you guys on set the day that the dog was in the mocap suit?
Oh, no. Yes! Oh, I'm sorry. I got
Einstein.
A whole day of dog
Einstein.
Work.
Einstein. Yeah.
I had a whole day of dog work.
So what does that mean?
Really?
They needed a female person, and they knew that I was a huge dog lover. Right. So I actually got to come in not playing Susan, but just act with dogs all day.
Wow.
And it was maybe my favorite
day.
It
was.
They were so cute. And they had like their own little space in the back, and it was like, like, don't touch him.
And they'd be like, now he's just lying
like
next
diva.
To your chair. And you're petting him next to your chair. And now his chin is on your lap, and you're petting him. And now you're scolding him. And I was like, I won't.
Oh, I will not.
I am not Susan Grimshaw right now, and I am not scolding anybody.
It's not my contract.
Yeah, and you're like, that dog's not going to understand that this is a scene.
Right, yeah, right.
It's going to hate me if I yell at it.
Exactly.
That's really funny.
I thought one of the most freeing aspects of it was, and this is, I think, really unusual for an actress. So normally when we work, we have something that is called going through the works, right? So what that means is that you get your hair and your makeup done, and then you'll go to your trailer and you'll put on your costume. And I always use that experience and that time to sort of find my character a little bit through these externals.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So for you guys, what did it feel like to be completely stripped down, right? On your first day, you can't wear any makeup at all, right? Because they have to capture your face clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was like the best part.
Yeah, you didn't have to do
anything.
I was
like, oh my God, exactly. I loved that. There was no expectation. There was no one. I have had the experience on set of showing up, you know, natural so that hair and makeup can do their thing and then walking out and people being like, oh my God. You look so beautiful, and this and that always feels a little bit like, ooh. Mm-hmm. And so there was none of that. It was like, you got to see people, how they really are. The guys were on the same level as the women.
Yes.
And it was amazing. Like, to me, I was like, it, me, showing up, doing me. And it was just like, I loved it. But I agree that makeup and hair and costume really does help you get into character.
Definitely.
They did have sort of a solve for that, right? Like, there were screens that gave us an indication of costume and the world and the environment that
sort
we were
of.
In. But you could have an indication of what you would be wearing, so you would feel like you knew kind of how to move in that. You could see a little bit of how to move in that. At least that's how I felt.
In the beginning, there wasn't any of that. Like, they didn't see any screams. But I also was just like, because you did have that prep of costume and makeup and stuff, because we didn't have it, it just made me feel more real as an actor in the room. Like, I couldn't, it was just me. You know what I mean? Like, there was no, like, I'm walking to the to the yeah. space, but it wasn't like, let me prep in the hallway. It was just like, oh, we gotta go. Okay, cool. Let me put my taco down and let me go. Like, that's how it was. And so when I got in there, it was just like, oh, I have to do the work. You know what I mean? Like, yes. nothing is able to help me but me.
Well, yeah, and the costumes, yeah. like, not only fuel yourself from outside in, but it also, the way that you can use them to project onto other people. It's like,
oh, yes.
I'm showing you I am this thing, and I have this thing to back it up, not only for myself, but for you as well. And you didn't have that either. Mm-mm. So it's like, you really have to own and start, and also figure out along the way mm-hmm. who this person is mm-hmm. and grow into them.
Yep. Yes.
Entirely from yourself.
Yep.
In some ways, it reminded me of theater. You know, yeah. right? Like when you're going through a rehearsal process, I would never like wear makeup or do my yeah. hair. I'm no. always in sweatpants, right? Until we start getting yeah. closer and I start sort of needing those externals. So in that way, but what you just said is really true, is that I didn't know who Susan was when I started.
Yeah.
I don't think the writers knew who she was. I think it developed, right? Like we're all learning these characters. So if we had started with the externals, I think that you're more locked in,
yeah.
right? You're more locked mm-hmm. into who she was.
And we didn't know what our characters were going to look like right. either.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing ADR when I had a version of Karen up just to confuse me that was like Orlando Bloom. And I was like, oh, that's what I was doing. That's cool.
I think I saw that. I think they were like, that was Karen. And I was like, what? I had no idea what Susan was going to look like.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Mia knew what she was going to look like. She was like, hi, this is Tilly Jackson.
It me, yeah. my face.
Well, I don't think it, yes.
When they revealed it, I was like, wait, did I sign off on you to use my face? Like,
and you did. Yeah.
Sis,
and you
we did a whole yeah. scan on your head when you first came in here. So yeah, this is your sixth time here, girl. Yeah. Like,
do people ever recognize you on the street because you look so much like your character?
I do, but I don't.
Yeah, she's not as pretty as you are. I mean, not to like.
Tilly is always like very sweaty.
She's sweaty.
Anytime I get like a picture, only at the gym. Like, they're like glossy, and I'm like dewy skin, perfect. But like, what is going on, sis?
I think because the characters developed, I didn't know how old Susan was. I really didn't. And then when you first see her in Coulter, so when I first mm-hmm. played the game, she withers in the cold. She really. She really looked like, I was like, that's me?
Yeah, she
like,
got
she
hit
looks
hard.
100 yeah. and she's wearing yeah. that big animal fur. Yeah, I don't know.
She
what,
did.
She ran out of her hair color. I don't know what was happening there. But but I, you know, I really didn't know how old she was yeah. or that kind of stuff. And then, did you guys have to go back and reshoot or re-record anything because your character had?
I did,
so
yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was just a different, like, intentions behind what she was saying. And I feel like that was, again, indicative of who they kind of wrote her to become and mm-hmm. potentially what her future was in the game and wanting to keep that trajectory really smooth and fluid. Mm-hmm. And so I went into ADR and I, you know, was there doing scenes that were perfect the first time.
Of course.
And, you know, and just having to redo it. The dialogue still remained the same,
right.
but the intention was different,
yeah.
and the way that the conversation went was different, and I found that to be, I think it's fascinating. Like, all of that fascinates me, and I was like, oh, this is really cool that they actually kind of course-corrected.
Yeah.
They cared enough.
Or they, like, realized, like, wait a second, she had that scene, and this is not what it was.
Yeah.
You need her to come back in.
And that happened on set sometimes, too. I remember we did one scene, and it was like, we were taking it, like, really serious. We were, like, having, like, and Rod came in, and he was like, they're just having a laugh. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah. Tears. Like, yeah.
You know, but it's one of those things where you're like, oh, and it's because the game, there's so much in the game
yeah.
that sometimes it's just a glimpse of a conversation, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not as weighted as we feel it is because we
right.
feel like we know the circumstances. It's
right.
like, no, they're just real people living their life, having a laugh. And you're like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, as actors, I think we get a scene and we want to
act.
Play that yeah. scene. But sometimes we are just adding color to the camp. So
yeah.
It feels, so we're just people having a laugh or washing a dish or
me.
Darning a sock.
Or you washing a dish.
When I was pregnant and they had me do
right.
it and I was like, these clothes are
dear
done,
Lord.
Okay? There's no more washing that Tilly needs to be doing. My knees hurt.
The clothes are done.
Knees hurt.
The clothes are done.
So wait, let's just say here that you, so for people who don't know, that you actually did maybe the last year you were pregnant for real with Mason. So we are all very attached to this little boy.
Yes. And Lucy too.
But and Lucy.
Pretty
who true. Yes, who they're in love with each other. They have their own like cross generational love affair. but you know what's amazing about mocap is that you can still play your part because they can animate it.
Yep.
So yeah.
Even though the walk, there's a couple of scenes in the camp where I'm like, oh, I'm waddling.
Oh no.
I can see
that's hilarious.
Just a little bit, and I'm like, maybe I'm just self-conscious.
Yo, that's fans are gonna love that. They're gonna be like, you're gonna find that.
My like
your weight shifting.
I'm waddling just a little bit more, and I was like, yeah, I was probably like 7 months pregnant. Right
wow.
There. You know,
I was jealous of the sneakers. I was jealous of
the
footwear.
Yeah, I got to wear sneakers. Yeah, because I couldn't.
No,
I
amazing.
Had to wear a bigger. Every time I came in, they like went up a size. In the mocap suit for me.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. I remember there was one day, actually, that you couldn't get to work because you were hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
You went right up to the end.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. A little,
It's because I'm a hard worker and I just wanted it to be perfect, and so that's why I could.
Totally.
That's why I did it.
And it was perfect.
It was.
And it was perfect.
They were like, don't come back after this. Yeah. You're done.
I think they did say that.
Yeah, they were like, don't call me again.
I think that might be happening with all of us.
And today is a wrap.
All right, Outlaws, that's a wrap. But stay tuned next week for the second part of this special campfire interview. And if you'd like to learn more about these incredibly talented women and what they're up to now, you can find Mia Davis on her socials at MeeyaDavis, Joe Armanox on Instagram at IMJoArmenox, and on Twitter at Joe Armanox. And Sam Strelitz on her socials at SamStrelitz and on her website, SamanthaStrelitz.com.
Thank you for listening. Let's Play was brought to you by The Gamers, a community that connects all gamers who identify as women and welcomes people of all genders who support this. Let's Play was co-produced by Kylie Vernoff, Jenny Grossa, and The Gamers team, Laura Deutsch, Rebecca Dixon, Heather Awida, and me, Verna Maloney. Please visit thegamers.com for show notes, to access exclusive bonus material, and to learn more about the Gamers community. And if you liked what you heard, we'd so appreciate it if you subscribed and gave us a 5-star review. Thanks again for listening.